Meeting of the Port of Port Townsend to order, and please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next time it's a Star Spangled Banner. Okay. Are there any additions or alterations to the agenda? Commissioner Tucker?
None.
All right. I have a motion to approve the agenda.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Public comments. Please come to the podium to speak, and please speak your name so that the recording can reflect the comment. We have 3 minutes. Go. Who wants to be first? Going once? Going twice? Gone. Okay. Consent agenda. Everybody had a chance to look at it.
Can I make a motion that we approve?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. No second readings. We have a first reading of the mortgage yard background check form and fee. Does someone, staff, want to take?
Sure. So, Commissioner, what you have before you is a revised liveaboard mortgage application. We have one in place now, but this was somewhat changed, and we wanted to add a fee to that so we can actually do a background check in an effort to make sure that we have responsible tenants and eliminate, hopefully, the, you know, abandoned or derelict vessels that occur. Typically, this is mostly in mortgage, not really so much in the yard. So we would propose that, you know, for the yard, maybe you wouldn't do one unless it was 60 days or more that a project was anticipated, that somebody would be writing a board. But for mortgage, it would be different. It would be less than that.
Okay. I have a request from staff that we move this forward to an approval. Is there anyone that has a concern about it being something that's an issue, Steve?
I have no concerns.
I'll make a motion that, do I still have to do the unanimous vote reading?
Yeah,
so I'll make a motion that this becomes a second reading or a unanimous decision
to move forward.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 And then I'll make a motion to approve this as written.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Done. Port leasing policy recommendations. Port of Port Townsend Leasing Policy Advisory Committee report. Who gets that?
I'll see that. Thank you, Mr. President. Just to kind of give you a brief background, you will recall that the commission appointed this committee late last year to review a staff draft of the leasing policy and provide recommendations to the commission as how best to proceed. And I certainly don't want to steal any thunder. I think it was a really useful process, a great group to work with. We should certainly appreciate their time and expertise in helping us work through some of these issues. We don't necessarily agree with all the recommendations that are being made, but all of them were made in the spirit, I think, of the best interests of the port and community, and really want to thank you for your time and service. So with that, I think I'm going to simply hand the baton to Pete Langley, who has graciously agreed to provide an overview of some of the concerns and issues identified by the committee.
For the record, Pete Langley. Thanks, Eric. Yeah, it was a great group to work with, both staff and everybody on the committee, Ernie, John, Susan, Chris, and then there were some other, Mark Byrne, and I think Pam sat in on a few of the meetings that we had, which were great to be able to do. I think one of the first issues you'll see is terminology of highest and best use that we talked about. There was a fair amount of research done by the Marine Trades Group and advisory on that particular terminology. There was information.
Pete, could you step a little closer to the phone, please? I can't hear you very well.
Okay.
Or let's do this.
I can speak up.
The phone closer to the.
We're going to move the phone closer to you, Steve.
Can you hear me better now?
Disconnect.
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Just put it in front of you. There you go.
So anyway, the highest and best use terminology was really based on property development and or potential real estate investment, and really made more income for the investor on that property than, say, according to the strategic plan, you know, following the triple bottom line, which we think removing that terminology, what we feel is highest and best use is what the property is currently zoned for. So I think that made sense from our standpoint in marine trades and trying to protect the working waterfront. Secondly, again, let's go back to rate market analysis, hoping that we would have a repetitively done rate assessment, being that we got the MAI member, you know, institute out there, so we can have certified people do these appraisals. Taking it to another step of doing it every 5 years instead of every three to reduce the burden on the port expense sides, but then also giving the ability for market rates for people to know what they are and how they negotiate a lease. The rental rate adjustments, again, based on the CPI, is a pretty common thing for most port. So I think we recommended that the removal of the additional 1% on top of CPI be removed. Pretty standard, no other ports that we found had that escalator in there. The other one, again, at the end is the common area fees, which pretty much are CAM, as referred to as that. I think what we really looked at is the port's used by a lot of people, not just lease tenants and the other end. There's a portion of the common areas that really, I personally feel, not always, as Eric has said, some we agree, a lot of that common areas, Larry Scott Trail, say, for instance, parking should be part of the tax revenue coming in that some is set aside to help with that. And then other common areas that are used mainly by just the tenants or lessees would eventually hopefully come into a program where the commissioners would have an open saying, especially for stormwater, where the heavy haul out and those users really have a more impact on that one particular sector that costs support money. So we're hoping that at some point that's instigated where they can talk and get the stakeholders that are really affected by that to want to step up, similar to maybe how the heavy haul out was paid for with a percentage rate or something along those lines. In general, there was a lot of things we talked about, a lot of paper to review and or, as you saw, those line out line items. So I think for the most part, that's really what there. I'm sure Ernie's going to add some to it. I think I'd like him to add some to it if you could bear with it, but for the most part, we enjoy doing the service. It's always good to try to help the port, and I would hope that in the future, the port would take more input from some of the Marine Trades Association's advisory groups, because they're doing a lot of good work, both with the rate study and some of the others. So, thank you.
Thank you, Pete.
Thank you.
You want to comment?
Okay.
Ernie Baird. First of all, a great deal of credit is due port staff for creating an environment in which the exchanges were civil and intelligent and productive, and each side open to the arguments of the other. It was just a pleasure to participate. There, as Eric points out, there are some areas of disagreement. I think particularly the marine trades are conscious of the fact that we do business in a competitive environment, and we particularly are concerned that what we pay for rent is commensurate with what our competitors are paying in Bellingham, Etiquettes, and Port Townsend. The port, by contrast, needs to fund its activities, and so at the suggestion, as I recall, of Mr. Schmelich, it is proposed that rents be calculated by fee simple value of the property. Then adjusted by a multiplier, so that rents formerly have been thought to be the value of the property times 8%, as an annual or a monthly yield. We, in the course of asking that common area charges be removed, we agreed that 9.5% as a multiplier of fee simple value would be a way for the port to get money to do things like gravel the yard. And it would give somebody signing a prospective or renewing lease a more reliable way of developing a business plan, so that rather than having unspecified and unpredictable common area charges looming in the future, it would be known that rent would be 9.5% of the value of the property, and one may choose to make a business plan on that basis or go someplace else where they charge less. Likewise, in terms of giving businesses a certain predictable environment, the manner in which special charges are calculated and allocated, at least for my purposes, I would like to see it be more specific before, you know, someday in the future I'll need to renew my lease, and I'm sure that you guys will present me with the opportunity to agree to special charges. You know, and stormwater, of course, is the most pressing contemporary example of that. So if the method of calculating that area, that special charge is made explicit, and the way in which that charge is allocated to users, I think it would be much easier for the businesses to go ahead and sign such a contract. Generally speaking, what the trades have wanted is an environment where our operation in the port can be both predictable and allows us a competitive situation relative to our competitors in other ports. As far as I can tell, this lease policy as drafted affords us that kind of environment for doing business. And I'm extremely grateful that the draft that's been given to you now is so much improved over the first iteration we saw. So thanks again to staff, and thanks to the commissioners.
Thank you.
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Great job, by the way. I really appreciated you guys talking about, like, the escalators, and I say 3 years to 5 years. I appreciate you guys talking about CAM. I did not see a lot of discussion about the capital needs of the port versus the rental rates and how we're going to pay to fix these buildings. And I was recently in Sunnyside. They have done a major expansion of the port where they've been buying up ground. Also, Fort Walla Walla has been doing this, putting up huge tilt-up buildings and then bringing in corporations to rent those buildings. And their rental rates are based on the full depreciation of those buildings. So they're looking at replacing those buildings so far out, and that's what they're basing the rental rate is, and on ongoing maintenance costs as well. And so was there any discussion in the group about the fact that we're what I would consider a poor port? Our assets are depleted. Our buildings are, for the most part, worn out. And so we're in a situation where we're kind of treading water, kind of keep the roofs on, kind of keep the doors from falling off the hinges, that kind of stuff. And how did the committee talk about that? I mean, if we're simply market rate, how, and that rate creates a large gap of what we're going to, what it's going to take to keep the doors open. How do we bridge that gap? How does the committee think we're going
the
to
bridge that gap? The committee did not address that. I have a few thoughts derived from conversations, you know, over the last several years. I'd be glad to share my opinions with you if you're...
Okay. But there was no real discussion about, well, we can do the market rate, but are we going to be able to keep the building actually standing?
The committee did not address that.
All right. Okay. Great. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay. So what would we like to do with this now, Justin?
Well, for the commissioner's information, obviously, we'd like to hear from you after you've had more of a chance to digest it. We would then assume that we would put it on first reading for the next meeting. Since it's a policy, we want to go through two readings, make sure that the marine trades, we can go back and forth. You can have your comments, they can have their comments. And I think staff would be really happy if we could put this thing to bed probably, you know, the end of May, first meeting in June.
So Steve, are you there?
Unmute, Steve.
Yeah, I think we lost Steve. He called. I just see there's a phone call on my phone.
Oh, yeah. Shoot.
Huh. If I could suggest, we might want to incorporate a workshop session.
That's what I was thinking, right? That there was some.
Yeah.
Some sort of discussion.
So for your exchange of ideas. Sort of thing.
Commissioner?
Hello?
Steve, sorry about that. We lost you.
Ernie was talking and it just stopped.
Yeah, we just stopped.
How fortunate for you.
We're just trying to psych you out, Steve.
I'm sure that if you wanted the people involved in the lease committee to take up that question and come back to you, I would think they'd be... they'd be willing to do so.
Well, it's kind of more of just a broader philosophical look at, you know, some ports are really sitting pretty nice with a lot of new assets, and some ports are kind of right in the middle, that like Freda and Moses Lake, where they inherited a big airport. So they're basically trying to keep their hangars standing, and they're bringing in a lot of companies, Boeing and subs of Boeing, to be there. And that's pretty good. Ports like ourselves, and there are some other ports around on the water side, where we're pretty worn out. And, you know, we were really created by the Army Corps of Engineers, and now we're kind of left holding, like, we're all finding it, we all know, with breakwaters and Hudson and all that stuff. And it's just curious, I think the farther we go, the more I'm going to be interested in that discussion of how do we keep these assets standing. You know, how do we bridge this gap? I get it that we're in a market rate here, but I also get it that there's an expense rate somewhere up in the horizon that I don't see too close.
Well, I know in the course of conducting business here over the years that I went through thin times, and I know what I did to get through those thin times, yeah. And if those are, I would be happy to offer those and see if they could scale up
right
to the port's operation.
Right. Thanks.
If I may add to that, that's one of the reasons, even like in the CAM charges, going to a 9% return is pretty high for a lot of people to absorb.
Right.
When they've been, right now, the economy paying almost nothing in your interest rate or return on your investment. So we're hoping that with that encouragement, that people are going to realize they're going to put together a business plan that is going to, one, make their business sustainable with that number, yeah, and hopefully generate enough revenue to increase not only taxes,
yeah,
tax income by having good business happen here and stimulate the economy that way, which then will help the roofs. Also, the sale of New Day and the other to take some of the burden off the port for the replacement value, go back to just owning those land leases, and hopefully encourage that kind of investment from the business itself, because then it ties both of them into a symbiotic relationship where they both have to succeed.
Yeah. So, and once again, really great reading. Thank you. And no, not a criticism, just curious if that discussion came up.
I think at some point we really need to have a workshop and discuss those things, and maybe have the beginnings of a projection about, you know, what the condition of buildings are, maybe saying, you know, and at a certain point, we're going to have to build a building to move these people into, to take that one down to build, and maybe that's going to take a decade to do or more, but some way to work in. If we don't have a plan like that, then it's hard to plan capital to do those things. You know, we have a, there's a lot of different things going on. Sea level rise, or how much do you invest in a building that's now at sea level that, you know, in 10 years is not going to be at sea level anymore. It's going to be, you know, with the you know, foundation flooded and that kind of thing. So, but I think that's a workshop discussion that I have. The workshop that you're talking about would be, so I want to get a sense from staff and from the participants on the committee that are here. I mean, do you feel like what's in the draft policy is where we want to be? Consensus that's what everybody can live with? Is there more discussion to be had there? Is there?
So I'll let Jim add to this. I would say that there's, I think, broad agreement on quite a number of the points raised by the committee, but not all. And I prefer not to go into specifics and, you know, get wrapped around the axle on that this evening. I think there are one or two issues that are reflected in the line-in, line-out draft here where staff would take a different view. I think a workshop session would permit you with an opportunity to both hear the staff perspective and also to have members of the committee present and other members of the public also to engage in a kind of a freer exchange of ideas. We would then, based on that, probably, and on the sense of the commission obtained at a workshop session, seek to prepare an updated draft for first reading.
All right, that sounds good. And we'll talk about that at the meeting next. All right, quarterly project report.
How are you?
So, commissioners, you have the template of the one page per project report. Do you have it? This one?
What page?
It was not in the package.
No.
You have it? Yeah, he has.
I got it.
There you go. Okay. First page is water meters, backflow preventers. This is something that originally we had initially thought we would have it outsourced, but then maintenance so that they'd be able to do it. We have the engineering already completed, and maintenance is ready to start in the next couple of weeks. Permits have been obtained from the city, and the source for the budget is the Boat Haven Reserve. And they're planning to phase it in three phases so that they can take care of other maintenance duties along the way. So it's going to take up to 4 months, but they won't be continuously working on that.
And page two.
Mm-hmm. Page two is the workyard resurfacing, which was done in the fall of 18. It's already completed, but because of the amount, the dollar amount, we included it in this. We actually have it on the agenda today to actually authorize the close of the project. We've received all the releases, but this gives you just the duration. It was actually pretty small, but it was like $88,000, something like that. About $80,000. All told. So on page three is the runway, which we started back in June of 17 with phase one. with the redesign, environmental review, development of obstacle plan, and 60% engineering. We're nearing the close of phase two. That will have 100% design with bid specs, and then phase three will go ahead and bid it out.
We have an acceptance from the FAA that
phase two. Parallel taxiway or phase two engineering?
Phase two engineering.
We do not yet. We're nearing the finish line. I think I mentioned this in the past meeting. The schedule right now is for 90% by May, 100% by the end of May, bid ready by mid-June.
Okay. Or what about FAA on parallel runway?
Have not heard yet. I think one of the key points of information for them will be the final construction safety phasing plan that will be part of the documents that we submit to them as part of the 90% submittal here within the next week or so.
So, Commissioner Putney, was this something that you envisioned, this type of document?
Yeah.
Because I personally think it's a very valuable tool for all of us to use. So
I think that this is one of those things that will hopefully in the future keep us, keep everybody on the same page and keep us from having unintended consequences of miscommunication. So I think it's great. Thank you.
Can I ask you a question on the airport?
Sure.
No, we're not in on an agenda item. So a lot of discussion at the airport about the taxiway stuff and the fact that the FAA is requiring the dog and the taxiway. Are we above and beyond doing anything about that, changing that, as far as the FAA is concerned?
The FAA is taking a consistent and strong position with respect to the location of the taxiway connector.
Right.
Have indicated quite clearly to us that our desired pattern cannot be approved.
So here's a question then. Legally, if there is an incursion because of that connector and what we're going to do with it, so two planes connect because of that unforeseen jog that is now going to happen out there, are we liable in that situation, or is the FAA liable because they're requiring us to put that jog in there?
I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head. I would say that if we have constructed a runway as per FAA design criteria and consistent with FAA direction, and have maintained that facility consistent with our grant assurances and obligations, that our exposure would be minimized to the greatest extent feasible.
How about you, Catherine?
Yeah, I agree with that. If you're following what the FAA has told you to do, your liability is going to be really limited in that circumstance.
Okay.
If you're required to construct it in that manner because of FAA requirements.
Okay. Oh, Steve's calling me again. Well, we got you, Steve. She's dialing you right now.
Hello? Where is Addis Ababa?
He's in bed.
Oh. Same thing.
Oh, yeah. Yes, complications.
Hello?
Hi, Steve. It's sorry.
Yeah, somebody's shuffling some papers right next to the phone, too, and I'm not sure if they're unplugging it or what, but I'm missing quite a bit of it here.
No, it's we're not near the plug.
I'm going to move it back to the... Move it back to Steve's desk and just point it out that direction.
Are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good.
Okay. We've got you in your accustomed spot now.
Where did you leave off, Steve?
You were asking about the FAA and the time for, and Eric was saying the time hasn't changed much since the last time we talked.
Right. Okay.
No, I'm sorry. I think we've gotten to the runway, and they said the runway options aren't going to change.
Right. Okay. Cool. That's where we're at.
I think that's where we are. Okay. Quarterly financials.
Okay. Let me just say, first of all, I don't have the graphs on this one, and basically it's because the revenue groupings changed from last year, and I wasn't sure if you wanted to continue to have them. And I don't know if you recall, previously we had marinas, RVs, and then we also had yard, and then we had properties and uses, and so it was a different mix. It wasn't by more traditional department. So if you'd like to see that graphs again in the area, let me know. I'd have to rebuild some, except for the facilities and operations, that one. So overall, we are looking good on the first quarter of 2019. Revenues are impressively up comparative to the last 5 years. And expenditures are down, which is also good. I think one of the cautions I made in my notes was for the expenditure side, there are some adjustments that I'll be making to the budget timing of certain expenditures. I won't change the budget totals, but the timing of those expenditures. So, and then because we're in a transition year, you know, the last year, it's kind of knee-jerk to look at the last year, but it's really not apples to apples because you have one type of accounting as compared to another. So I would recommend that you look at the year-to-date current year and compare it to the budget, because that's going to be more relevant.
Okay.
And then going forward next year, of course, we'll be all cash. So, do you have any questions?
How long do you think... are we going to be, as we go through 19 and we're changing from accrual to cash, is it going to go all year? I guess it's going to go all year as far as discrepancies and timing, because it's just the way something's going to come along.
Well, like I said, I'm in the process now of changing the timing in the budget. So it'll be key to be looking at the budget rather than looking at last year. But you're right, when you're looking at last year compared to this year, there will be discrepancies that might be directly related.
So the accrual sets that we put to the end of the year, and it gets to be folded back in again.
Right. Yeah. But then, too, there's discrepancies that are just because we're doing better.
Yeah.
So, like the revenues.
Yeah, that's an amazing quarter.
It is.
Fantastic. We just need to keep doing pieces at that rate.
Right.
Well, the yard, you can see the yard rates are through the, yard through the roof. I mean, the shipyard, boatyard, everything. So those guys have been working extra hard. So when you see them out there, make sure you thank them and congratulate them.
Yeah.
Because they have been a great team to work this quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That conclude that.
It concludes.
Okay.
Unless you have questions.
Integrated planning grant.
Steve, are you still there?
Steve? Oh, he's called me three times now.
Just put him on a cell phone.
Yeah.
It's turn that off.
Not me, Diana.
Hit speaker.
He's going to.
I'm just going to put him on my cell phone.
It's off.
All right,
thanks.
Here, I'll put them on mine. Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
You are now on speaker, and we're just going to leave you on my phone.
Okay.
That might work better. So we just went through quarterly financials, and we commented about how cash and accrual are kind of going, you know, we're kind of changing through the year, and had a great first quarter, as you can see.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay, and that's where we're at.
Commissioner Tucker, did you have any questions on the financial results?
No.
Okay, thank you.
IPG.
So in 2017, the fort was successful in obtaining a proviso in the biennial state budget for $200,000. It was earmarked to go towards fulfillment of an integrated planning grant. The objects of the study, as outlined in the request to the legislature, were number one, to effectively address environmental contamination of soils, but almost more importantly, to help address stormwater quality issues. And number two, to plan for future redevelopment of upland areas at Boathaven to increase operational efficiency and allow for intensification of use for greater economic return. So the question before the commission this evening is whether or not to proceed or withdraw from the integrated planning grant process. The way this works is there are monies that have been earmarked, but the port would still need to move forward with the preparation of a grant application through Ecology Grants and Loans, EGLE, to scope the project and retain a consultant to work with to develop this plan. This matter came before you back in November of last year, and at the time we had indicated that Ecology Grants and Loans were willing to give us time to kind of contemplate whether or not this was a wise investment of the port's resources, and it was well tailored to the port's needs and circumstances. So that's really the question this evening. And obviously reasonable minds can differ as to whether or not this is a useful and an appropriate investment of the port's resources. And even though it is a fully funded grant, planning grant, there still will be costs that the port will incur. Staff time, I would imagine, would be over and above the amount that's identified here. And there obviously would be the need to carefully, you know, manage and participate in the process were we to proceed. But the idea is that it would result in the creation of a long-term guidance document for the uplands at Boathaven to maximize their efficient use. And it would detail infrastructure needs, provide recommendations as to how to make our efficient operations more efficient over time and to increase our revenues, and also provide a means long-term to address a number of regulatory compliance issues and, most importantly, stormwater quality compliance. I will say that before I go into the cons here, those were the pros, by way of background, our numbers this season with regard to stormwater compliance are phenomenal. We are now, as of the most recent sampling we took in April, meeting seasonal benchmarks for both zinc and copper. So the stormwater improvements that were effected in 2017 and modified with the introduction of Kaizen this year are proven to be effective. And I believe that Ecology is pleased with these results. So I think it really, the question is, if the IPG process was really tailored towards, number one, a long-term solution to our stormwater issues, and number two, to plan for some level of redevelopment at Boathaven to maximize efficiencies and improve the port's bottom line, one of those issues appears to have been substantially addressed. And the remaining issue really is one of the degree to which the commission would wish to engage in the planning process that it imagines at least some level of redevelopment of the facility, and the level of stakeholder engagement that would be required to effect that and to come up with a set of recommendations that the tenant base, the community, and the commission can all support. Obviously, we have other irons in the fire and limited resources with which to address them. And I think it's staff's view that this program is not well suited to the port's particular needs and circumstances at this time, and therefore we should deliver the message to ecology that the monies should be reallocated to other projects.
I guess for me, I had questions about whether this grant was, it looked to me like while the stormwater was part of the project, that the grant for really directed at the kind of brownfield reclamation planning rather than straight out port reconfiguration, and I was kind of always questioned about whether that was an appropriate use of the grant. It looked like as long as we had the stormwater hangar hat on, the other thing came along, but if that stormwater is pretty much been mediated, or at least we found a path forward, and question whether this is the right grant for the use.
Yeah, I would say that I think you're right that it's typically used for brownfields remediation. So it's often used in situations where a site has been highly contaminated, because it's essentially a MOTCA program, a Model Toxics Control Act program, where it's frequently used for basically wipe the site or a substantial portion of the site clean up the contaminants, redevelop the site. But that isn't the only way it must be used, and we've been assured by the staff at Ecology that that it is a flexible program. So it's really the degree to which the commission wishes to engage in a planning process that imagines, number one, a significant degree of soils testing, some potential level of remediation there, and then secondly, a planning process that is looking, I guess the basic question can be summed up this way. Is this, in broad strokes, the vision that we have for Boathaven as commission, port, and community, or is the idea that we imagine something that is substantially different? If the case is the latter, then this program could be a good fit to seeing how to, again, maximize efficiencies and improve the port's bottom line, but it is no small undertaking to initiate this process.
Well, I guess it assumes that we have a plan to do this structural overhaul and then the wherewithal to execute it. It seems like the second part of that, the execution part, the execution, the disruption to the yard and yard users, is that where you want to go? Do we have the wherewithal to really approach a solution that this planning might engender?
Steve, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, well, I can really hear what you guys are saying, but I think I got the gist of it. My thoughts are, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear.
Really held dear, and that was, and you may recall this chart, Frank Schumelich's chart, reach, small and yada yada. But as Eric said, this is a very flexible program. And whereas Bellingham decided to take their monies to turn an old pulp mill into a park, which I think strikes fear in all of the people here in town, Kalama decided to take clean up an old chemical plant and put a new chemical plant there, one that doesn't pollute. My idea was to take this and take a boatyard that had a lot of legacy materials that are causing us difficulty meeting benchmarks, and my eventual final goal was to get it so that we could put the stern water in the ground rather than in the bay. And this would have been the way to think, since we're writing it, we could say, this is where we want to go, let's do it this way, and utilize the entire port properties, you know, the Balls property, the yard property, the maintenance, everything, and a whole big scenario on how would you do a boatyard that would be, as Frank said, the boatyard for the 21st century. I understand the limitations the staff has and the concern that we have, and that's just something we have to live with. Unfortunately, I feel that it's really a set. Well, I was excited for the boatyard for the 21st century, because right now, everything, I think you said earlier, Pete, we're Army Corps of Engineer era, bunch of folks running on the end of our tethers, and this would be a way to start a new tether. But those are my thoughts. I think that obviously we don't have the staff to do it, and since we are making benchmark, we'll just continue to struggle along and struggle to keep our boatyard going.
Yeah, I think too your point about this being a project that would reconfigure the yard for a catchment basin rather than an outfall doesn't look like that's in the cards for us. So maybe that imperative is off the table as well.
What happens with Steve, I tend to be like you. I think I'm with you on that vision. I do like the fact that we're lean and mean right now, and we're making benchmarks, and we're doing well in the yard, both ship and work yard. But you certainly see uses for this down the road, and so it's kind of one of those kick the can down the road or punt it down the road. Is there the opportunity to come back 3, 4, 5 years, different commission, to this well and say, gosh, we could really use something like this to get us to this point?
Again, this is a proviso in the state biennial budget. I don't think there would be any reason that a future commission would be precluded from talking to their elected officials and seeking to have such a proviso inserted.
Here we go. Okay.
I don't think there would be any reason to imagine that a future commission could not seek a similar appropriation in a subsequent biennial budget with the support of our legislators.
Did you hear that, Steve?
I did. It kind of makes me kind of think back about when we were doing the Terrazol. We got this very close, and then we decided no, and we asked ourselves, and we asked the senator, is this going to affect our future success in giving money? I think it really did. And so I'm not sure if turning this back would also have us sort of think of future proviso. Except, we gave you proviso 10 years ago, and you didn't do anything with it, so we're going to give them to other people. I'm not sure if that's going to be the case, so I really think the tail fast that Eric is trying to address.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I got kind of a vibe that our senator was not too thrilled with us.
Right.
She kind of felt like she went to the wall and
on the bigger thing?
Yeah. And then didn't complete them. Yeah. But, on the other hand, I don't know, I hate to spend, almost as much as I hate to spend my money, I hate to spend other people's money with, kind of chasing something that has a dubious payout. And I don't know, if you feel strongly, Steve, that this is
let me just give some final thoughts on what you said here.
Sure.
And that is, if you take your car to a traffic road guy, and we fix my transmission, he said, no, I don't fix transmission.
You know, there's another thought to this too, Steve, and that is going back to that ferry, the ferry deal, and because I was a part of that, and it was kind of, you know, that money was great, but it also was like getting one shoe and then being told to run a road race with a bare foot and a shoe. And it really was. And so I get it that that didn't work, but at the same time, trying to find the other shoe was pretty hard to find that second shoe. And, you know, in some ways, the IPG is like that in that it'll get us on the course, it'll get us racing, but we're, you know, if we were going for a catchment basin, we still would have to fund that catchment basin. So it'll get us partway there, but it's not going to get us to the catchment basin if we were going to end up at a catchment basin.
Right, but the usual reason for IPG grants is a precursor to lack of funding, and so
yes.
IPG grants was due to get the funding from Lockton. Look at all of the good things Lockton funding has done throughout all the ports we've talked to. That's
right.
Cleaned up grant fields and multitudes of ports.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to find a project to use Matka on. I think it's a great tool. And I keep looking in South County for those kinds of projects because, you know, I think there are probably sites that funding would fit nicely and do well for the community and do well for the port. But I'm not feeling for this one.
I'm going to make a motion that we pass on IPG, Steve.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. You have your decision on that. Workyard resurfacing project acceptance.
So, Commission, as mentioned earlier when we were discussing the quarterly report on projects, this project was completed last year. Can you hear me okay, Steve? Okay. And then we have to go through the process of requesting a release from the three state agencies. And as usual, DOR was the last one, but we got it. And so we're just asking that the commission approve this completion, and I can release retainage to Seton Construction, who's the contractor.
So this is the last 5% or something, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. 5%, right.
And everybody performed as they were supposed to on the contract? You got the product you wanted?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Did the gravel get compacted satisfactorily in the areas where it needs to make the heisters sink outside?
The contractor came back and did some warranty work in one area. And we thought that some additional areas would require additional warranty work, but in the intervening period of time, with the 300-ton lift rolling over it, it has compacted.
So I got a head nod and a head shake. And
there are still some areas in the yard that are very loose, specifically next to the sandblasting job that's out there right now. There are a few areas, and people do have a problem with their forklifts to this day. But
Bob is commenting there's a couple areas that are loose still by the sandblasting area. Maybe we could just run the 300-ton around a little bit.
It's the quality of the rock.
Yeah.
There's no fines.
Is this the contractor that provided the material as well?
The specs, yes.
Okay. And it was our spec, and the material was as per spec, but
yes.
Sure that we can actually withhold money if they're still in a valid warranty, and they still might need to do some stuff with the Houston Bucket Sandblasters.
PYR?
Yeah.
No. Basically,
by
the right across from the heavy wall.
Oh, right, where the carries the whole boat is.
Where we all stood for the picture.
Yeah.
Earlier this year. You know, I would say that one of the challenges, even in getting them back to do the warranty work, has been because the yard has been chock-a-block.
Eric just said the yard's been full, a little bit hard at the moment to do warranty work. I'll make a motion that we go ahead and authorize the completion of the job. So you can just push button.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I would say in the 20 years I've worked with Seton, if there's a problem,
yeah,
Seton will be back here to fix it. So it's not like a Seattle company. This is their backyard. And they're very good at what they do.
Yeah, I talked to them at a home show. They were interested in getting them the airport.
Yeah, they're going to get, Seton's going to be motivated to make it right.
All right, we're down to staff comments now.
I have nothing.
You should make up something. Tell the story.
So Kristen and I've been working on the annual report. It's new and fun, being past recording. Now bedtime. We also have a new security guard in place. It's starting this Saturday. And we are continuing to take applications for seasonal CSRs. It seems to be hard to get those for some reason. We just did another interview today, and we actually will have a new one starting tomorrow, but we're looking for three for the season. And then we're also taking applications now for the leasing contract administrator.
Very briefly, last Tuesday we had a whole crew up from Department of Natural Resources, Derelict Vessel Program, to provide a presentation and engage in sort of a question and answer period with our staff. The president of the meeting were Abigail, myself, Terry Kyle, Gene Jamison, and TJ. The object being to get everyone up to speed and understanding the procedures and the tools available to deal with the increasing number of derelict and abandoned vessels that we're contending with, so that everyone's on the same page and we have some cross-training as well. But I thought it was a really productive and informative meeting, and they're very much on the port side, want to do whatever they can to help and assist local jurisdictions, authorized agencies under the statute to deal with this burgeoning problem. So that was a really helpful meeting.
So in my discussions with them, they made it sound like it was kind of almost a competition between us and VA, Port Angeles, in terms of derelict vessels and a derelict vessel path. Did that come up at all in your discussion?
We were only discussing procedures for dealing with derelict and abandoned vessels, and vessels kind of moored without authorization. So talking about 5308.320 RCW and 79100 RCW, the derelict vessel statute, and the procedures for trying, because one of the things that we really seek to avoid is obtaining custody of vessels, because even though there's typically a 90% reimbursement from DNR, there still is an awful lot of time, effort, and the 10% that goes into handling these vessels. We would soon prompt better behavior. So that was a real focus of the discussion, was on kind of the processes that we can use before we initiate a notice of intent to obtain custody procedure, and pre-custody notices, notifying DNR, and then also liaising with local law enforcement, police, and sheriff to issue citations to vessels moored without authorization.
No discussion about a tear down pad?
No. was not. Yeah, it was a
different group.
Yeah, this was really focused on administrative procedures and seeing if we can do a better job of avoiding having situations like the John Cobb or the Fort Bragg materialize again.
We'll be inviting Hillary to come up with her group. I'll send a formal email out and see if we can get that group together.
Okay.
Anything from the legal department?
Nothing here, commissioners.
Okay, thank you.
Jim? So, last meeting we talked about a easement for transformers for the PUD, and the question came up was, well, what's our assurances that are going to help us? Today, by their request, we met with their head engineers. They will be placing 483 phase throughout the shipyard. Well, they're bringing the transformers in. We're looking at five different transformers they'll be bringing in, totally at their cost. So obviously from the transformer to pedestals is going to be our cost, but just the partnership we've forged with the PUD to bring us that kind of power is very powerful. That's all I
have. Commissioner Tucker?
Why is?
I just wanted to thank you for doing that for us.
Thank you.
Pete Langley sitting here. He's not as dead.
Oh, good. Thanks. That's all I have.
I have nothing. Okay.
Gosh, it's been a lot of broadband stuff. WPPA broadband yesterday. I got a couple of meetings on the subject of broadband today. Not sure where that's all going, but it's going somewhere. A nice reception last night for Admiral Richardson down at the sub base. And that's about all I've done. So, that being the end of things, the next public workshop and regular meeting will be Wednesday, May 8th at 9:30 in the morning for the workshop, and 1 o'clock in the afternoon for the Port Commission meeting. And there is no executive session, so this session of the Port Council Commission is adjourned. Thank you for your